Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number three on FST. Thanks for joining us on Fantasy Sports Radio.
Woo!
Yeah, you're fired up.
Denver Bronco time.
You know who's also fired up? It's Kevin Anderson. He's pushing Djokovic to a third set. Djokovic has got to be like, no. The same thing that happened to Federer is going to happen to me, where Roger Federer had Kevin Anderson to a match point, and Anderson saved it, came back, won the game, ends up winning the third set, fourth set, pushes him into extra games in the fifth set, and outlasted the greatest tennis player of all time. He then had a marathon 6.5-hour match against John Isner, and Djokovic had a similar marathon match split over 2 days against Rafael Nadal. And now here they are. Djokovic kind of smoked him in the first two sets, but Anderson sort of has a specialty for these marathon matches, and I believe, yeah, he's pushing to try to win this third set to come back on Djokovic. So really crazy there. The World Cup final is getting started now, I believe.
So many sports.
Flip over. So much. Yeah, we're started. We're already 5 minutes in. Two amazing kind of things going on at the same time. Scoreless with France and Croatia early. You expect France to win this, right?
Yeah, but I told everybody, a lot of people were asking me in my other job. They're like, who? I was like, I think France will win, but if you bet on Croatia. Just worth it. Soccer, it's close enough to where the odds, like, it doesn't make sense to especially bet on France. Croatia anything wins. Can happen.
Especially the way Croatia wins. Yeah. Grind it out. Mm-hmm. Get you to extra time. PKs. I mean, think of it. They won their last three matches. Penalty kicks, extra time. In the 115th minute. 115th minute,
I think. And the fact that they've had come from behind wins, too. Like, typically, you know, first goal goes in. All right, let's close up shop. But they've had, you know, a number of come from behind victories as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, look, France has more quality on their side. But I just, you know, that's why I said France was going to win. But if I were betting, I'd bet on Croatia.
Yeah. England scored in the fifth minute against
Kieran Trippier.
And then they did not technically have another shot on goal for the entirety of the rest of the match, which is more than 120 minutes when you consider extra time and injury time.
My brother has kept,
but you know, the weird thing is on that stat, there was a blatant header that was going in that was saved off the line by a Croatian defender.
No, that's not
a great play, and it doesn't count as a shot on goal, I think, because the goalie didn't get his hands on it. Is that right?
I don't know, I'm not positive how that works. My brother keeps saying that Harry Kane is having the worst golden boot of all time. Like, not that he's like some soccer aficionado, but he's just he's clearly like bothered. The fact that the way his six goals have gone, because I think he has like three or four penalties. One of them was, we were on air when it happened, the game where they put up like five or six goals, and it just flicked off the back of his heel, and he wasn't even watching, and that ended up giving him a hat trick game. And he had one of the tougher moments in that game where it looked like he was going to score. The rebound was super close. Obviously, that would have put them up 2-0, probably closed the game out, but didn't go in.
And they almost... they scored almost no goals in open play. Against Tunisia, they had five goals in that first half, but everything else was
so
by set
wild.
Piece. And I think
the only open play goal was that Harry Kane one, which is nonsense. That doesn't even count. He wasn't looking.
So, look, they all count.
I mean,
to borrow a phrase, they all count. It doesn't matter how it goes in, as long as it goes in.
A win is a win is a win is a win.
And Luka Modric would tell you that his penalty kick was right down the middle. But that thing was saved off the post, deflected into the opposite part of the net in a fluky kind of goal, but they all count. We saw, who was it? On the Belgian team in their comeback against Japan. Vergoten?
Who's this? I can't remember. Vertonghen?
On the Belgian, Vertonghen. That's it. I was blanking his name.
Got to play a little Vertonghen. More FIFA.
I know. Vertonghen had a – well, I don't because I will not get anything done. Vertonghen headed it across the net as a setup for somebody to head it home, and it went in. It's just one of those things. They all count. He wasn't necessarily trying to put it in the net. He was trying to set somebody up, but it went in. So, like I said, they all count. So, Croatia wearing their white and red checks. And France going with the blue jerseys today. So early in that match, to soccer fans out there, enjoy. And to tennis fans, you might be getting a little bit more tennis as Kevin Anderson is challenging.
Free tennis.
Here in the third set. Yeah. Well, bonus tennis there. So anyway, we talked a lot about Scott Fishbowl. By the way, I just totally blanked on Brian Hoyer being Brady's backup and Matt Schaub being Matt Ryan's backup.
Yuck
so
and yuck.
I don't want to be in a position where I'm having to pick one of those guys up. Do you know what I mean?
And I didn't even consider that was a thing. I mean, maybe I'm just not in the right
mindset. Well, that's how I entered the Scott Fishbowl last year. I had Breeze and Roethlisberger were my quarterbacks.
Mm.
And I didn't really go with a third QB. I think I might have had Josh. No, I think I picked up Luke McCown, who was Breeze's backup last year.
And I just was on a commercial once. That's wild.
Yeah, yeah, he was. He was doing Verizon wireless commercials. Yeah, yeah, it was a very odd thing. A backup quarterback for the
what season. A hero,
like a national Verizon deal. Yeah, good for him. his brother Josh, quarterback of the Jets, is a nasty basketball player too. You ever see those?
What in the world is that? So good! Oh my goodness! Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, amazing. It's awesome.
Yeah, you forget sometimes, like, oh yeah, the guy is a world class athlete, because sometimes you just get the sense that He's
old though. And he was yamming it. Oh my god.
He was doing people on the clip was a couple of years old, but when he was with the Bucks, but he was doing people on the court. The guy was probably like, you know, an all-state basketball player, and we forget that these guys are sometimes multi-sport stars. Any event. So there we go. We talked Scott Fishbowl. We talked a little bit about strategies there. It rolls on. I'm only halfway there. You all right? You good? Okay. So, yeah, the guy behind me, I can't remember who it is. The person right next to me drafted Theo Riddick right after I drafted Marquise Goodwin. I remember thinking, like, man, that was a good pick. Because the guy in the 12th round as his fifth running back gets Theo Riddick. And he's got Chris Thompson as well. So he got a couple of pass-catching running backs, which is a good place to be. Todd Gurley, Devontae Freeman, Chris Thompson, Aaron Jones, Theo Riddick. It's a pretty good setup right there. Anyway, so let's get off of Scott Fishbowl. Let's talk about the other teams, because we've got two other AFC West teams to talk about. And today we're doing – let's do Chiefs right now. Kansas City Chiefs are up. You want to do the Broncos? Well, fine. We'll do the Broncos. It doesn't matter. We're prepped for both, so let's go with the Broncos. Give me your thoughts first on where the Broncos are at. You seem to be higher on them than I am.
I am. I really am. I think that this might be one of the more underrated teams. I think they have legitimate playoff potential. So we just did this whole thing, right? Maurice Morton, totally fair, thinks the Raiders got the best wide receiver core, said maybe the Chargers do. I think I can make an argument that the best receiving core is the Denver Broncos. Because as I know, fantasy-wise, Keenan Allen's going to be the first of them all drafted. I can make the argument Demaryius Thomas is a better wide receiver than Keenan Allen. I can make an argument that Emmanuel Sanders is the best number two of the bunch. And I think you can make the argument that, albeit a rookie, Cortland Sutton is the best number three of this group. And Case Keenum could end up being the second best quarterback for this coming season in this division. We don't know what we're going to get from Pat Mahomes. And Derek Carr has been difficult. And I understand that people can look at what Case Keenum did last year as a complete outlier. Here's what we need to do, though. Here's what we need to do. Every quarterback that's ever played for Jeff Fisher is significantly better than what you think. Nick Foles just won a Super Bowl MVP. Jared Goff was outstanding last year, and so was Case Keenum. That man ruined careers, ruined Vince Young's career. And I think that Case Keenum is a lot closer to what we got from him last year in Minnesota than the garbage that was put up in St. Louis. I really believe that. So I think the offense is going to be better than a lot of people think. And I actually think that there's some potential as well on that offensive line.
So Case Keenum, we'll talk about where he's ranked. Case Keenum, currently 25th QB. Right behind Eli and Jameis, right in front of Andy Dalton and Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, lower on the list, but I could see him outperforming that. I could see him being in a 2QB league or in a super flex. I could see him pushing into that QB2 conversation.
Thoughts on my receiver comment?
I think it's totally reasonable. Demaryius Thomas is now at that point where I mentioned Golden Tate and Larry Fitzgerald earlier in the show.
Yeah.
He's in that conversation. People are like, I'm just sort of done with Demaryius. You know, I'm not in on him. And I'm like, you know, why wouldn't you be in on a guy that's as talented as anybody that's ever played? You know, he was a completely dominant wide receiver, in the years that he had a top flight quarterback. So, right now, Demaryius is 19th off the board. He's right behind Alshon Jeffrey and Allen Robinson, right in front of Josh Gordon and Juju Smith-Schuster. That's a really interesting grouping there, right?
Yeah.
Because I almost like the Gordon-Schuster thing, although they're both on my Scott Fishbowl team, more than the Jeffrey and Allen Robinson thing. But Demaryius is right there, mid-range wide receiver too. I think that's reasonable. I don't see a way in which he pushes into the top 12 necessarily. Because here's the names in your top 12: Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, A.J. Green, Davante Adams, Mike Evans, Doug Baldwin, T.Y. Hilton, Adam Thielen.
I think he can get into that top 12. Listen, last year was the first time that he
didn't. Tyreek Hill right after that, too. I could see T.Y. Hilton not being in that top 12. I could see Mike Evans not being in that top 12. Would I replace them with Demaryius Thomas? Not inconceivable.
I mean, look,
where he's at right now.
I mean, this is a guy, I understand where he's at. I'm not saying that he needs to be in the top 12. This is a guy that was, for the first time in many, many moons, didn't get to 1,000 yards, and he was still incredibly close. And he was still putting up, they're good numbers, and the targets are there. 140 targets last year, 145 the year before that. This is a guy that's going to get a ton of looks, and he's going to get significantly better quarterback play. I don't care what you think about Case Keenum. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler.
Well, this is a disaster last year.
This is a massive upgrade for Demaryius Thomas. And the same goes for Emmanuel Sanders. And, you know, people could say, oh, well, he's leaving that situation in Minnesota. Again, the offensive line is likely going to be an improvement because Minnesota's offensive line last year was not terrific. As far as the running back situation, Latavius Murray to Royce Freeman, it's up in the air. The tight end is certainly better in Minnesota. Thielen and Diggs this year, obviously we have a much higher outlook on them than where we have the combination of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. But entering last season, that was not the case. So perhaps they could be closer than what you would think upon first glance.
Yeah, look, he played great last year. Is 68% last year? 3,500 yards. You know, this is not playing in to start the year. Obviously, he didn't play the opening week. He came in the second week. It's basically playing 14 games. Those are his numbers. Really good. 22-7.
Remember that game against the Lions?
Completion percentage trailed only Drew Brees for best in the league. Charted as off target 14% of the time, which was third best behind Drew Brees and, ironically, Carson Palmer. So
you remember that game against the Lions when he was in St. Louis? He threw like four touchdowns, complete like 80% of his passes. Everyone was like, oh my God, what a joke the Lions are. They made Case Keenum look like Christ himself. And again, yeah, he's not that. Like, that's not the quarterback that he is. But he's gonna have some big games. And I think he is a good quarterback. I cannot stress this enough. If the quarterback played for Jeff Fisher, automatic pass. He almost ruined Jared Goff's career before it ever started. Nick Foles almost retired from football, reigning Super Bowl MVP. And Case Keenum last year was almost in the Super Bowl himself. So, look, I understand that, you know, if we're, you know, I'm not saying that Case Keenum needs to be a quarterback one. I'm not saying anything like that. But as far as the outlook for this team as a whole, where they are viewed as the distant fourth compared to the rest of this division, I think that's a mistake. They still have the best defensive player in the division in Von Miller. Bradley Chubb, everybody said he was the best defensive player coming into this draft. They got him now paired with Von Miller. I know they lost Aqib Talib, but Chris Harris Jr. was still the best corner that they had in that secondary, and Bradley Roby is no slouch. I like this football team. I like this football team.
Offensive line, Garrett Bowles, their left tackle in his second year. They obviously, Ron Leary is there in his second year as well. Signed Jared Veld here as well. Pretty good. I'd be out on Courtland Sutton for the most part. I don't think a rookie is going to break through here. They've had this dynamic before with Cody Latimer and other players that just have had a difficult time breaking through. Two extremely talented guys in front of you. So I'd be out on Sutton unless somebody got hurt. But solid offensive line, not great. Solid quarterback, not great. Really good wide receivers, one of whom I would even put in the great category, at least at one point during his career. But we're talking about fantasy options for this year. I think with Emmanuel Sanders coming to the 33rd wide receiver off the board, I think you got something there. But I just wonder how aggressive they'll be with pass attempts for Case Keenum throwing the ball. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the running back situation there because Royce Freeman, in my experience, early in this preseason is getting a lot of love. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But we'll come back, talk, finish up the Broncos, and move over to the Chiefs after this on FST. It's Mike and Kevin. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
What would you say? So I'm talking about Sean Angle. Get me fired up for my concert on Wednesday. I've told a couple of people, and they're like, hey, 1996 call. They want your concert going back. They've made, like, all kind of old guy jokes. I don't care. I've seen Dave Matthews in concert a lot. He's a lot of fun. I wish I could go see Foo Fighters, but as I told Kevin earlier, it's a negotiation. It's an ongoing negotiation. I don't feel great about my positioning, but we'll see. I'd feel worse.
Like the Spurs trying to trade Kawhi.
Yeah, I'd feel worse about my positioning if I actually went to both concerts. Let's put it that way. I won't feel good about that second concert 2 days in a row. But the Novak Djokovic Kevin Anderson match. These guys are just doing it right now. They're in a tiebreak in the third set, and they are hitting crazy shots against one another. I know this is a football show, but I just have to say I've always been a tennis fan, and I watch, and I don't know that I'm an expert by any means, but it's always a sport that I watched. I played a lot of it growing up, and so anyway, hopefully you're listening to us with the sound off on Wimbledon and or the World Cup, because that's currently what I'm doing as I'm trying to flip back and forth between the two. Still 20-0, France scored, which I missed, yes. And it is the 24th minute. Who scored? Do you know, Kev?
Antoine Griezmann.
Wow. Of course he did. PK or open play?
Open play, I believe it was. I actually haven't seen the highlight, but I believe it was open play. Like, I just saw the ball going into the net. It looked like it was an angle of open play. I will say, just quickly, everyone's been talking about Kylian Mbappe. Rightfully so. Yeah. He's fantastic. But people have kind of put it to where he's like, oh, he's the main player for this team. Like, Antoine Griezmann is this team's best player.
Yeah.
Like, comfortably.
And Paul Pogba is the highest paid one. Yes. You know, he is the guy that had a super disappointing year in English Premier League, but he is one of the superstars as well.
Absolutely. Like, And I mean, I guess, part of it is his age, right? We know that he's breaking onto the scene. I totally understand the excitement. I just, one of the things that took me back there was a graphic made. And it was like, and it was the top players. And it was, it was Mbappe, then Pogba, then Lloris. And then on the other side, it was, I think it was Modric, Rakitic, and Subasic. And I was like, what are we doing here? The best player in this game isn't even on the graphic. I mean, but, yeah, that's a little
stuff. It'd be like, to put it in layman's terms, it's like, let me think of something. James White and the Patriots take on the Steelers led by Eli Rogers, that's probably a year late, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're doing without promoting the best guy. The Aaron Jones led Packers in week 3 take on the James White led Patriots. You know, it's not how you would normally do it. Antoine Griezmann is their best player on the team.
Yeah, that's all.
He's not the Zeitgeist guy, which Mbappe is, and we may see huge transfer fees associated with him. Paul Pogba has already seen that happen in his career.
Well, Mbappe actually might be more expensive. The deal is very confusing because soccer does very confusing deals. But he went from Monaco to PSG. But I think it was like on loan, but the terms to the transfer are agreed upon. So I actually think Mbappe might be the most expensive of the bunch. Griezmann would have shattered it had he left for Barca, which was rumored. He decided to stay with Atletico.
We'll talk about, let's do the Cristiano Ronaldo thing in the final segment with, Jimmy Butler and Jabari Parker stuff. So let's wrap up the AFC West in this segment.
Let's give the Chiefs their due.
And I want to do Serena too in the last one. Let's wrap up the Broncos and then talk about the Chiefs as well. So Broncos running back scenario. Royce Freeman getting a lot of love. He did in my Dynasty League. I'm seeing where he's drafted. If you have your Scott Fishbowl thing up, let me know where Royce Freeman went in your league.
I'll get it.
And I'm telling you what their ADPs are right now. Royce Freeman, it's Devontae. Royce Freeman going as the 25th running back off the board. Devontae Booker is going as the 43rd running back off the board. So that tells you that fantasy experts certainly feel like this is Freeman's job. He's getting it right out of the gate, not giving much consideration.
13th running back off the board.
Royce Freeman was.
Yes.
Has Devontae Booker gone yet?
King Booker T, 43rd running back.
He was the 43rd? That's ironic. His ADP is 43rd as well. So 13th to 43rd. So there you go. That tells you all you need to know. People think the rookie's going to get this ball right out of the gate. I just wonder how they share carries. We're going to have Ryan O'Halloran, who's Broncos beat writer. He's going to be on with us, but not until a couple of weeks away. He's got some downtime. We had, schedules sometimes don't line up, but I just want to let you know we will get into that, and training camp will already have started by then, so we'll get into that. I think it's Saturday, August 4th. I know I don't often tease a guest like 2.5 weeks away, but nonetheless, that's where we're going to be at with him, and make sure we dive into that more. Now, you're going to have drafts between now and then, I understand. So it seems like the people are really leaning towards Royce Freeman as your much better option than Devontae Booker.
Oh!
Another goal.
Ivan Perisic. Man, I tell you, the glass in here is soundproof, but I actually heard a little bit of the cheers for that goal. I saw it coming. Eyes locked in. 1-1. This Croatian side.
Are there a lot of people watching in the restaurant where you are?
There's a decent amount. You know, they did a thing. You haven't probably been here in a while, so I don't know if you've seen this. They now put a massive curtain, like, blocking the glass. So yesterday was closed, and I left it closed. And then some guy just started opening it, and I felt like an animal at an exhibit, like people were just looking in like, oh my God, what is that? So today I kind of opened it a bit for myself. That way I could see all of the games and stuff like that. So I don't have a full view, but there's a decent number of people from what I can see.
It looks like that shot was deflected, but yeah, we're tied at 1 in now coming up on the 30th minute of this match. So we got an interesting one here. And on the other side of things, we have to get to the Chiefs. But we're in the midst of a tiebreaker here in the third set. to see if Djokovic can.
We really have to get to the cheese. We have. Yeah, we may have to put Ronaldo on the back burner.
It's a match point here for Djokovic. He's serving. So I think we know the way this is going to go. But Anderson has proven himself to be tremendous in the past. So, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
I'm going to throw it to you.
Yes.
You're an Andy Reid guy.
Very much so.
You love Andy Reid. You also like the Broncos. You don't love the Raiders so much.
Right.
You think the Chargers are going to win. So how do the Chiefs slot in here?
Well, I'm not even – look, the schedule's going to have to break down. Today, how I look at them is probably Chargers, then Broncos, then Chiefs, then Raiders. The Chiefs thing is very interesting to me. Again, we went through kind of at the top of the show. The skill positions there are fantastic. Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins is the perfect duo, I think, for a player of Pat Mahomes' style. And Travis Kelce as reliable a target as a young quarterback could find. And they can give the ball to Kareem Hunt 300 times if they need be. So they've got everything there to make him succeed. Again, my concern comes with knowing how much that he likes to kind of take those risks, take those shots. He is a guy that I think could turn the ball over a lot. And that's not something that they've done with Alex Smith at the helm. And he's also stepping in, as much as people might make jokes about Alex Smith, Alex Smith was a legitimate MVP candidate last year. And if not for that massive fall, he honestly probably would have won it. He still finished with 26 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He was fantastic last season. And as much as I like Andy Reid, and I feel that he deserves more respect, I am worried about Andy Reid coming into this season because he did have to give over those play-calling responsibilities. And if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong here, but I think he actually had to turn them over within that playoff game against the Titans, or he took them back in that game against the Titans, and obviously there were some issues with what their play calling in that second half of that football game. So that's where I'm a little nervous, because he still is a young quarterback. His style is a riskier one, and I'm not positive if Andy Reid being the head coach here is... Typically, it's been enough to just put them as the best team in this division, and I'm not sure if that's still the case.
Understandable concern. Pat Mahomes currently ranked as the number 14th fantasy quarterback, according to Fantasy Pros. His average ranking right now, right behind Matt Ryan, right behind Jimmy Garoppolo, right in front of Matt Ryan and Marcus Mariota, Phil Rivers, Jimmy Garoppolo, right in front of him. I would take all four of those guys over Pat Mahomes. That's me. I've said it too many times, and it's not a narrative of mine, and I do think that there's some crazy potential here for Pat Mahomes because he's such a gunslinger type. You know what I mean? He could really blow the doors off of people talent-wise. I just have always had concerns about Big 12 quarterbacks making this transition. Now, I like the fact that he was on the bench in year one and he got to learn a little bit in Andy Reid's system. And I trust Andy Reid about as much as I trust anybody from an offensive standpoint. So I think that is an interesting marriage. I'm just going to be more likely to take Mariota, who I think the Titans offense, I've said many times, I think the Titans offense is primed for a jump and his play, Mariota's, will go along with that. Matt Ryan, I don't think I need to expound too much upon that. I thought his numbers last year looked atrocious, but some of it was bad luck. He's a little prone to bad turnovers, and it just really went all south at once. I think I'm looking at Brady and Ryan in my Scott Fishbowl league. I think I might have 60 touchdowns between those guys, so I feel pretty good about that. And Phil Rivers, we just talked about, and Jimmy Garoppolo, I just like all the pieces in that offense as well. And I'd probably shade Garoppolo before Mahomes, only because I've gotten a chance to see Garoppolo play. I'm trusting Pat Mahomes on a meaningless game at the end of the year last year. So that's where I'm on Pat Mahomes. I would not have him at 14. I'd have him a little bit lower than that. And in fact, Jared Goff is ranked 17th here, so throw Goff in front of him as well. So Mahomes is battling it out with Alex Smith and Dak Prescott for me.
The thing is, though, Mahomes could end up a QB1. It's the question marks. The talent behind him, around him rather, is there. It's a matter of what they do. It's a matter of how they approach this. I don't really understand what in the world went through Andy Reid's mind where he stopped giving the ball to Kareem Hunt. Like it was almost simple. In give him the ball, you're kind of in control of everything. Maybe we see Kareem Hunt kind of reap the benefits of that. But maybe they don't. Maybe they want to throw more. I think the other part of this is their defense. I think their defense is going to regress. I think it's going to take a step back. Maybe Derek Johnson wasn't the same, but I still find that to be important leadership. And as I like them getting Kendall Fuller, but he is a slot corner. And they lost Marcus Peters. And as much as Tony Sincotta might hate Marcus Peters, he's one of the best cornerbacks in football. So I think that there can be some regression for the defense as well, which has, from time to time, held this team down. So, as a whole, I think that this could be a regression year for the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, Kareem Hunt ranked as the seventh running back, behind Kamara and Barkley, in front of Gordon and Fournette. You like that, where he's ranked, or would you move him around?
I could be talked in to him being higher. I had him as, for me, I got him at the RB8. Within my Scott Fishbowl, and I was plenty happy with that. The guys that went after him, Dalvin Cook coming off the big ACL. I like him more than Melvin Gordon, McCaffrey. There's like a list of questions there that we can talk about when we get to NFC South. Jerick McKinnon went as the 12th running back. That's basically selecting Kyle Shanahan at 12. So I liked him there.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, and you know, the guys that went right in front of him were Fournette at 7, Barkley at 6, and Kamara at 5 in terms of running back. I would consider him in front of all of them. I could see the debate, though, for all of those guys being ahead of him. So I think that that's kind of the range that he falls in. He's not in the top four tier, but he's right there in that next group.
With accepting Kareem Hunt, I'd say the only way I'm going to have any of these, I guess Kelsey, too, because I do trust Kelsey. But I think the Chiefs wide receivers and quarterback will only be on my hedge team, as I've told you about in the past. I usually draft a certain way because I feel a certain way, and I'll usually pick one team. And last year I did it with a money-based team, which is not my smartest strategy. And I hedged, and I picked a couple of guys that I normally didn't pick anywhere else, and I said I didn't like. And it was just for fun. You know, it wasn't a lot of money, so I didn't really care. But that team cratered, and I just wonder if the Chiefs scenario, the Watkins-Hill combo, Mahomes trio will be on any of my hedge teams because I don't see myself going after them. Tyreek Hill currently ranks as the number 13th. Is that standard? I want to make sure the PPR ranks are up. So my apologies. I'm doing it PPR. Let's see where Tyreek Hill is. He comes in at number 14. Watkins comes in at number 31. So Watkins, a mid-range wide receiver 3. Hill knocking on the door of a wide receiver 1 right behind Larry Fitz and T.Y. Hilton right in front of Diggs and Demaryius Thomas. So Demaryius Thomas is a little higher. I think I was looking at the standard rankings before, which I don't normally do. But in any event, you know, Tyreek Hill and Watkins are tied to Pat Mahomes, who, look, I'm fading. Yeah. So that's all I can say.
Are you, and you know, with this whole situation, I guess kind of being centered around Pat Mahomes, How does that impact your outlook on Kareem Hunt? Because it did raise it a bit for me. I do think that this team should run the football more. I think Kareem Hunt needs to be up there in terms of total touches, especially carries, for this football team coming into next season.
I think the rankings I just stated before, where he's 7th or 8th, are fine with me. I can see me picking him over Saquon Barkley, because I just have questions about it. He's 7th in PPR league. So I would take Bell and Gurley and DJ and Zeke Elliott and Alvin Kamara in front of him. I could see myself picking him and or Melvin Gordon in front of Saquon Barkley. As much as I like Saquon Barkley as talent, that's an offensive question. It's not about whether I think Barkley's good enough or not. I just think maybe Hunt, the Kansas City and L.A. offenses are more efficient than the Giants. They've done a decent job in adding offensive line pieces, but I don't know that that's fixed yet. And Pat Shurmur is obviously working with this group for the first time as well. So there you go. I maybe we blew through the Chiefs, but I think I've sort of made it known. I'm just going to fade the receivers and the quarterback, not to dismiss them completely, but to say that other people are going to like them more than I will.
Yeah,
that probably means I'm looking at a little bit of a setback for the Chiefs. They may you know, might be more of a 9-7 team this year as opposed to 10-6 the way they were last year.
I just want to make a point of their schedule when we come back.
We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about some fun stuff on the other side. It's Mike and Kevin closing out the show. Dave Matthews playing you out on this Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us on FNTSY Radio. We'll come back to close it out right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Wednesday night at the PNC, PNC Arts Bank Arena, is that what it's called? I don't know. I've been there, so I'll be there. Dave Matthews, Wednesday night. Fired up. Do I sound like I'm 100 when I say that, Kev? You're a lot younger than me. Do I sound like I'm 100 years old and I'm going to see Dave Matthews?
Yeah, the only way to fix it would be to go to Foo Fighters like the night before. I think that's the only reason.
Foo Fighters is that much more modern than Dave Matthews.
No. But
been around since 1996.
If you're like, no, I'm going back to back concerts. Like I'm going out, making it happen. Like big things planned. Like it's, oh man, like this guy's going out there. It's like,
so if I'm going to an isolated Dave Matthews concert, yeah. I sound like I'm 100 years old.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I don't know. I don't. I mean, not really. I don't care. I think you're fine.
Sean Engel, if you're listening, I need you to pipe in here. I need you to save me. Save my self-esteem. Are you there, bud?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Do I sound like I'm 100 years old because I'm going to see a Dave Matthews concert, or do you think it's pretty cool?
I mean, I don't mind Dave Matthews personally, but, you know.
That's not a save. That is not a save for me.
But you got to remember, too, that Dave Matthews is still a bit of a newer act, too. He did come around since the 90s, after all.
That's what I'm saying.
Both that and the Foo Fighters. I'm not going to see Robert Plant.
It's not like I'm going to see, hey, Foghat reunion. I'm not going to do that. It's Dave Matthews. It's from my college days. That's how I remember him. Anyway, thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Been great today. So,
jeez,
yeah, he's about as old as Pearl Jam. You don't or Foo Fighters. You know, give or take a few years.
Here's the thing, Mike. You sound like you're trying to convince yourself. I didn't say a thing.
If I went to see a Pearl Jam concert,
Sean
would you
said
think
you were
I'm
fine.
Old?
No, you're fine. But you're trying to convince yourself more than anybody else. It's okay.
No, I'm literally trying to voir dire the witness and understand. I don't understand why it's perception that he is an older, much
who,
older actor.
Who said this to you? Who hurt you?
You seem to be.
Like, I didn't say anything. You asked me. I'm not
getting a positive reaction out of my attending this concert, and I'm trying to understand why that is.
Dave Matthews just doesn't get me excited. I just don't listen
That's
to Dave
fine.
Matthews.
That's all good. I get it. Different strokes for different folks. I don't mind that. But I've had a couple of people make jokes like, hey, is it 1996? Like, why are you going to see Dave Matthews? Like, literally, a couple of people have said that to me.
God,
and
Lionel.
Both of them are not that much younger than
me. You have been hurt. You have been hurt by somebody. That much is clear.
a little Peter Griffin right there. Love it. Lionel Richie.
You're not wrong. You were hurt.
No, that's good stuff. Let me go back before, I mean, we're closing out the show here in the next 10 minutes. Mo Moten, who we had on, and I'll tweet out the interview that we had earlier. It's a great interview with the Raiders, despite the fact that I fudged the timing at the end of it. He referenced a quote from John Gruden, and I did a bad job of following up on that. So here's the tweet from Warren Sharp of Sharp Football. day one, hour one of the 2018 NFL Combine. This quote, full John Gruden quote on analytics. Quote, man, I'm trying to throw the game back to 1998. Really? As a broadcaster, I went around and tried to observe every team, asked a lot of questions, took a look at the facilities, how they're doing business. There's a stack of analytical data, or data, however you want to say that word, that people don't even know how to read it. It's one thing to have the data or data. It's another thing to know how to read the damn thing. So I'm not going to rely on GPSs and all the modern technology. I'll certainly have some people. I'm not done. I will certainly have some people that are professional that can help me from that regard. But I still think things the old-fashioned way is a good way. Well, we're going to try to lean the needle that way a little bit.
Ready? Here's what's going to happen.
Anybody that throws analytics under the bus, they sound like they're 100. Forget me and Dave Matthews. They sound like they have no idea what they're talking about.
You sound like you're in the future. Here's the thing. He's going to miss a game because he's going to get lost on his way to the stadium, clearly. He doesn't even use GPS. And then he's going to get fired. No, I'm kidding. He's not going to get fired. That's crazy. I mean, look, well, I'd like to think that he's not going to go out there and try to run the ball 500 times. Like, that'd be pretty bad if that was his plan. You know, we've made jokes about Gruden a lot. I think, you know, just I'd say that as a whole, as a community, not necessarily this show. But there has to be still some optimism, right? Like, I think, you know, one of the things that Maurice did say that I liked, and I think that it is a good sign for them, is, I guess, his ability to kind of galvanize the group and to kind of keep control of everything that's going on within that locker room. Like, if he was really able to, you know, get Doug Martin to say, yeah, like, this is where I want to be. I'm excited to play for John Gruden. You don't have a ton of, you know, you have him in the NBA. I think you have him to a degree maybe in baseball. You don't have a ton of guys that are looked at as player coaches really in football. But if John Gruden can be that, I think that that's a big thing. Culture-wise.
Yeah, it's interesting because he was definitely perceived as a player's coach. Maybe perceived as a player's coach in the past. I don't know. I don't know that that's his exact definition because he's kind of a gruff guy. I think he's a little bit of a hard ass, even if he was a younger coach at the time. The one point Mo Moten made is that he's 54. John Gruden was a young coach, when he got those jobs with the Raiders and the Bucks. So despite the 10-year layoff, he was out when he was 44, and he comes back. He's only 54. Like,
and Bill he's Pelichick still
and Pete Carroll are north of 65. So to give you some perspective on their ages. So I think he's a guy that still obviously has a lot of energy. I just can't stand quotes like this. I'm not going to throw him under the bus, as Mo said, completely. It's a really stupid thing to say, but I think he's also Johnson. Gruden's a little bit of an entertainer, so yeah. I think he's trying to be funny there as well. It's the joke is lost on me, but I do think it was a joke to some extent. So anyway,
yeah,
I'll put that to bed. Right now, we both think that the Chargers are winning this division, right?
Well, I think that the Chargers are the best team in the division. Again, as we get closer, I want to kind of just break down how the schedule's looking. That
yeah, we'll do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, but
we're trying to take the team. We're trying to take this team by team. Give you some fantasy expectations. Who's the one guy in the whole division that you want at their current ADP?
Well, I kind of made the case for Demaryius Thomas. I do think that you're getting value on a guy that has that opportunity to end up maybe in that wide receiver one tier. Look, listen, we all know this, right? First, whatever the ADP is right now of receiver 1 through 12, there's not going to be your top 12 wide receivers at year's end. And I think Demaryius Thomas certainly could end up being one of those guys. And I think Doug Martin as well is someone that we just kind of mentioned in terms of getting extreme value. I think that Doug Martin, super, super late in drafts, could end up being a nice pick.
Yeah,
and Mike Williams too. Mike Williams too.
I was going to say him actually. So I did not want to dismiss Travis Kelce earlier. He's the first or second tight end off the board. If you picked him in front of Gronkowski, I wouldn't hammer you about it. But I would put him second. I'll put Gronk first for now. I'm unlikely to get those guys in drafts. I don't typically like building my teams that way. It depends if there's another funky scoring league that I end up entering. I just typically don't build from the tight end. I need I like to work on a little bit of depth at the wide receiver and running back positions first before I go to the tight end. So
how do you have these?
I think Phil Rivers and Mike Williams are interesting to me because Phil Rivers is going so late. I think you're going to get a QB1 outside of the top 12 QBs picked. And I think that Mike Williams is kind of interesting. I do have a lot of questions about him, but he's going so late. He is going to be worth the risk at that point. If he's the 59th wide receiver off the board, yeah, like then, yeah, I take a chance.
For sure.
Of course. I'm not overdrafting him, but if I took him as my wide receiver five, that's an appropriate risk to take. You got two top 10 running backs there in Hunt and Gordon. I actually think I like Gordon a little bit more. I think the offense will be better.
He's never even averaged 4 yards a carry. Like, that's tough for me.
Say that again.
Gordon's never averaged 4 yards a carry. That's tough for me.
Yeah. But the touches are there. And the,
they
the
are, but that means that they're the all, it's everything's tied to the touches, I feel, in a way. And not to say that there's anything suggesting they go back, but if, you know what I mean?
No, I understand. But offensive line improved. I could make an argument that their offense will be better than Chiefs, as well. So trying to think of other guys down deep that we
want to ask
about
you about
today.
The Chiefs though quickly. So last year they were fifth in total yards, sixth in points per game. They last year, obviously that means that they're one of probably, you know, top five, top six offenses. They swap out Alex Smith for Pat Mahomes. Are they a top 10 offense at minimum based on the talent surrounding, based on the offensive personnel? Because I was kind of doing this the other day, just thinking about, you know, top 10 offenses, top 10 defenses. And, you know, there's a lot of good offenses. There's a lot of good teams that have a lot of good skill positions. As far as everything that surrounds the quarterback, I don't know how many teams you make an argument have a better situation than the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, it's really good. And I like their offensive line.
Yeah, solid offensive line.
Who's their possession receiver? Travis Kelce, right?
Yeah, like that is one of the things about Kelce is like he is going to, he very well could lead them in targets. Very well could lead them in targets.
Yeah, I don't think that's an unreasonable take at all. Not at all.
He did last year, 123.
Yeah, so I think he does again. I think that's a no-brainer. They're not going to throw the ball that many times to Hill or Watkins. They need the guy. You know, he's going to pick up a lot of first downs. That's why in a league like Scott Fishbowl, he's going to crush it because he's going to have a lot of first downs. If he catches the 83 balls that he caught last year, even if it's a downtick, he's going to see a lot of first downs. I think he was second only to Gronk amongst tight ends in first downs. I think he had over 60. So, big number. Anyway, so there you go.
I just wanted to make one more point about their schedule. If I can.
Okay.
Thank you. Ooh, did that just go in? Oh, no, that was a highlight. Sorry. I'm sorry. By the way, they're up 2-1, France. I don't know if you saw that. There was
I did.
Okay, cool.
Novak Djokovic won Wimbledon. France is up 2-1 in the World Cup final right now at halftime.
Okay, so the first six games are the Chiefs' schedule. At the Chargers, at the Steelers, home versus the Niners, at the Broncos on Monday Night Football, home versus the Jaguars, at the Patriots.
That's 2-4.
Isn't like, if they're 3-3, it's a miracle. 2-4, I think you're happy with. 1-5 is not out of the question. That is, it's the toughest first six games of anybody in the league.
Yeah, so that's a bad one.
Only Buffalo compares.
Yeah, so there you go. That's why I have the Chiefs probably out of the playoffs there.
I mean, think about this, right? You, I think, as presently stands, you would say your three best AFC teams are the Patriots, Steelers, and Chargers. Those are three teams that they're playing in the first 6 weeks, all on the road. That is brutal. Absolutely brutal.
I think the Jags could be as good as the Chargers.
Well, they play them too, so no worries, except that game's at home. They might play the four best AFC teams in the first 6 weeks. Now look, if they somehow came out of that 4-2, oh my goodness. Not to say that the schedule's...
You think they're really good?
Yeah. I mean, you have to think that they're really good. The schedule's not necessarily a bunch of cupcakes after that, but... Look, coming out of that 500, I think, would have to be the goal. 2-4 leaves the season salvageable. But yeah, so I mean, that's, look, the Steelers seem to always score 700 points every time they play the Chiefs. Honestly, that first game against the Chargers, because the one thing about the Chargers, maybe it'll be different this year if they're better, but they don't really have much of a home field advantage. Like, the Eagles went there last year, and the Eagles had home field advantage.
Yeah. No, it's true. That does play a factor in the Chargers' home games, because they're not really – there's no fan advantage whatsoever. So that's it for the AFC West. Hopefully you had fun diving into it today. Just a couple of little notes to close it out. Djokovic just won Wimbledon. France up 2-1 in the World Cup final. I have to give a lot of credit to Serena Williams because it's pretty amazing. I know there's Craig Carton was talking about it, and he had a certain take on it. I just think it's pretty amazing. Yeah, maybe it doesn't compare to an injury, but I would think that it does absolutely have an impact on your physicality. And I think it's pretty amazing that 10 months after she had a baby, she's in the Wimbledon final with an opportunity to win. Now, Angelique Kerber really kind of dominated her yesterday, but I think that's pretty amazing. And I think we don't often talk about it. Some people do, but we certainly here don't often talk about it. She's amongst the greatest athletes in the history of, let's just call it, modern sport.
Sports period.
She's got, yeah, she's just a 24 titles now, I think. I think that's her number, 24 Grand Slam titles. And it, based on the way she just played 10 months after she had a baby, I think there's more coming. So I have to give credit to her, because I think what she's done is amazing. She's not always been the most wildly popular athlete, but I give her a lot of credit for being a very well-rounded person and experiencing and being above board and experiencing a lot of things outside of the world of tennis. She's a celebrity, but she's done some cool things in the business world. And really, I think it probably bothered people earlier in her career that she wasn't supremely dedicated to tennis as others are. And she was really trying to become well-rounded in other areas and in other pursuits. So I can actually appreciate that. And kudos to her. Kudos to Novak Djokovic. We didn't get to the NBA stuff. I think the Bulls are kind of nuts on the Jabari Parker thing if it goes past this year. But if it's just a one-year deal, I can't kill them. The big NBA news is Jimmy Butler. I'll give you 30 seconds on the Jimmy Butler thing. He turned down the extension from the T-Wolves.
The Jimmy Butler thing is maybe the biggest mess in all of sports, because they absolutely should trade him. But the person who is up to trade him is Tom Thibodeau, who is one of maybe the only people in this entire planet who agrees with Jimmy Butler. But the problem is not Jimmy Butler, and the problem is Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. It is a complete mess. They need to fire Tom Thibodeau immediately, despite the fact that Tony Sinkata tried to defend him. Tom Thibodeau needs to go, otherwise this is going to be a mess. And they are very, very, very likely to lose Jimmy Butler for absolutely nothing than having to fire Tom Thibodeau at the end of the season. At least, though, you can keep Carl Anthony Towns happy. Sign him to that extension immediately.
I love Jimmy Butler.
Gotta go.
Second time.
You're going to buy his Knicks jersey.
Kind of stuff. I am. And right now, the Knicks are going to have Jimmy Butler and Kyrie and Zinger and Kevin Knox.
And Mitchell Robinson.
And Mitchell Robinson and the 2019 number one pick. And who's the other guy that was suspended? Lonzo Trier.
Lonzo Trier. So Frankie Smokes, ready to develop into a star.
So the Knicks are going to challenge for the title probably 2021-22 season. So that's where we're at. Maybe even earlier. Maybe we'll win the whole thing in a couple of years. So thank you for listening today, indulging me on Dave Matthews and Foo Fighters.
Great job, Mo.
Kevin, good job with the AFC West. Thank you to Mo Moten. Thank you to Sean Engel for producing. And thank you to Jim Day as our other guest. I'm on next with Corey Parson on Fantasy Football Friends. Thanks for listening, folks.